Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Love for Krishna has this one unique side effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. Purport. There are two kinds of devotional service: the way of Pancharatrika regulative principles and the way of the Bhagavat transcendental loving service. The love of Godhead of those engaged in the Pancharatrika regulative principles depends more or less on the opulent and reverential platform, but the worship of Radha and Krishna is purely on the platform of transcendental love. Even persons who play as the superiors of Krishna also take the chance to offer transcendental loving service to the Lord. The service attitude of the devotees who play the parts of superiors of the Lord is very difficult to understand, but it can be very plainly understood in connection with the super excellence of their particular service to Lord Krishna. A vivid example is the service of Mother Yashoda to Krishna, which is distinct. In the feature of Narayan, the Lord can accept services only from His associates who play parts in which they are equal to or less than Him. But in the feature of Lord Krishna, He accepts service very plainly from His fathers, teachers, and other elders who are His superiors, as well as from His equals and His subordinates. This is very wonderful. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just taking the permission of all the Vaishnavas, try to share some thoughts on these wonderful verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in these verses, you may have noticed while hearing that one thing is being stressed again and again in these verses, and that is the glories of devotional service to Krishna. It's said that if you want to understand Krishna consciousness, then you should read the Bhagavad Gita, because everything is plainly described in the Gita. It's explained that if you want to understand who is Krishna, then for that you have to read the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is full of stories of Krishna. As we know, each canto of the Bhagavatam is revealing a different part of Krishna's body, starting from His lotus feet up to His smiling face. And it said that if you want to understand what is devotional service, then for that you have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of stories, pastimes, and descriptions of devotees who are completely immersed in devotional service. Their source of enjoyment, their source of happiness in life is nothing but devotional service. They are completely 100% satisfied in serving Krishna. And therefore, if we truly want to understand what devotional service is, then we have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and understand the substantial character of the personalities in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the service of Krishna is giving one a completely different taste. We used to have one devotee who stayed in the ashram for some years. And then he made a transition to living outside, and he got a job in an investment bank. But what he would do is he would get 4 weeks of holiday every week, every year, as all of you know. And he would use those weeks to come and help with the Janmashtami clear up. So he said, out of all his things that he did while in the ashram, the thing that he enjoyed the most was clearing up after Janmashtami on the field. So he would use his weeks off work to come here and serve at the temple. So he was sharing with me one year before he was about to go back to work. He said, you know, it's been a great time here, but now I'm going to have a big problem. And I said, what's the problem? I mean, you came here, you served Krishna. It's wonderful. You had a good time. It was brilliant. He said, no, there's one problem. When I go back to work, what do I tell them? Because the first thing when you go back to work that people ask you when you've had some time off is, where did you go? Did you go to the Bahamas? Did you go to the Costa del Sol? Did you go to India? No, I went to Watford. You went to Watford? So it's sounding strange already to the people who are hearing it. So what did you do in Watford? Well, I went and stayed in a temple. So now it's getting even more strange. First you went to Watford, and then you're telling me you stayed in a temple. Well, what were you doing in the temple? Well, I would get up very early in the morning at 4 o'clock, and then we would do meditation in the morning, and then we would go out and take tents down, take timber off the field, wash pots in the kitchen, clean up the floors and the different areas of the temple. And then at night, after a day of service, I would go back to my room and sleep on the floor. And then the next day I would do the same thing. And this is what I did for 2 weeks. You can imagine how baffled the work colleagues were. Because someone cannot, from an external perspective, understand the taste that one gets from devotional service. A few years ago, I was staying at Soho Street Temple, and one of our book distributors, Radha Landanishwara Prabhu, who many of you may know, came back one day from book distribution with a very interesting story. He had gone to Sloane Square. Many of you may have been. There's many international embassies. There's quite a high marketplace. So he had gone to Sloane Square to distribute books. So in the course of distributing books throughout the day, one very affluent person came up to him. And the person said, I've been watching you. I've been watching you for the last hour. You're trying to stop people and no one's listening to you. No one's stopping. No one's talking to you. What are you doing? Who are you? So Radha Landanishwara Prabhu explained, I'm a monk. I live in a monastery. I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. And we come out onto the streets with books. And whoever's willing and interested, we stop them and we speak to them about Krishna. So the man said, well, you know, what were you doing before you were doing this? So then he explained a little bit about his background, his family, his work, and he said, I gave it all up. I gave everything up to stand on a street corner and stop people, because this is devotional service to Krishna. It was very simple. He just said it like that to the person. So this man was so amazed. He couldn't understand the concept that someone would give up everything to do this. That he said to Radha Landanishwara Prabhu, he said, you know, me and you have to talk, you know. There's a Costa coffee down the road. Let's just go and, you know, have a coffee and let's sit down and talk about this, you know. There must be another way. And he said, well, I would love to. Well, I'll take your contact details. And, you know, we can meet at the temple or something. But, you know, today I'm out on the street and I have to distribute books. This is what I do. So the man said, we need to speak now. Valandin Shah's Prabhu said, well, I've got a service to do, you know. It is my service to Krishna to distribute these books. So the man, he looked at the box of books and he said, how many books are there? So Radhalandan Shwai, he had counted it up obviously before he came. So he said, there's 50 books there. The man said, how much does each book cost? He said, £5 each. So the man took out his checkbook and he wrote, £250. He goes, there, I've bought all your books. You don't have any books. Now let's go and talk. True story. So then they went to Costa Coffee and they had a 3-hour discussion about Krishna consciousness. So it was a good day. All the books were gone, full Lakshmi collected, slipped in a 3-hour Bhagavatam class in the middle, and he even had a nice hot herbal tea. People are amazed. People are amazed because they haven't tasted what devotional service is. This is why a Vaishnava exists. A Vaishnava, the basic identity of a Vaishnava is that a Vaishnava is a servant. Everything that we do in our spiritual life is just supposed to boil down to this, that we learn how to become a servant of Krishna, we learn how to become a servant of the Vaishnavas, and we learn how to become a servant of humanity. This is really what a Vaishnava is. Beyond everything else that we label ourselves as, essentially, we are a servant of Krishna. Our Kishore Prabhu, who was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, at his initiation he told a very wonderful story that he came in front of Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada gave him the beads and he said, "Today, from today you will be known as Kishore Das." So everyone was Haribo. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Do you know what Kishore means?" So he said, "No, I don't know." So Prabhupada explained, Kishore means Krishna, who is the adolescent, who is roaming on the banks of the Jamuna and who in the groves of Vrindavan is enjoying with the young maidens, the young gopis, and in this way is having many, many wonderful, wonderful amorous pastimes. And then Prabhupada looked at him, "But remember, you're Kishore Das, not Kishore. Das is the important part of the name." So the essential identity of a Vaishnava is that a Vaishnava is a servant. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Devahuti explains, "Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtapada sevayai jivan api mrito hi saha." It's a very wonderful verse actually. Amazing analysis by Devahuti. She says, "Neha yat karma dharmaya." All the work that we do in life, every single activity, all the different karma that we do, is ultimately meant to bring us to the point of dharma, religious life. One should understand that from once they've done everything in the world, they should come to the point of realizing that it's not just about living in this world and doing different things, but it's about living a dharmic life. But then she says, "Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate." All your dharma, all your religious life, that's supposed to bring you to the point of vairagya, where you realize that even through dharma, there's no point enjoying in this world. One comes to the point of renunciation and says, "I no longer have any plans to try to be happy in this world. It's a waste of time." And then she says, "Natirtapada sevayai." But all of your renunciation, if it doesn't lead to tirtapada seva, service to the lotus feet of Krishna, all that renunciation is useless. So it's an amazing analysis. She says, all your karma should lead you to the point of dharma. But all of your dharma should lead you to the point of vairagya. But all of your vairagya, if it doesn't lead you to the point of seva, then she says, jivan api mritohi saha. You are a living person, but really you are dead. If someone is not drenched in service to Krishna, then Devahuti says, you're a living person, but actually you're dead. Right? So someone who isn't drenched in service to Krishna, you can tell them, Prabhu, get a life. Right? They say that in the world, isn't it? They say that to devotees often. Why don't you just get a life? But actually it's said that if you're not drenched in service to Krishna, then you're actually the dead person. You're the person who needs life. So life is coming from service. And not only life, but true happiness, true contentment, and true satisfaction of the soul is coming when we engage in devotional service to Krishna. And really, as I said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the book where we can see the living example of this. That those devotees who don't think about anything in their life except serving Krishna, those devotees are the happiest devotees. And therefore, if we just take a look at some of the different characters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we'll have an understanding of what the quality of devotional service is and how that brings happiness in our life. Of course, devotional service is not just about the activity. It's about the mood as well. One time someone came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's math, and he saw a young devotee, and he saw someone who'd been around for 30 years. So he saw the young devotee, and he saw the young devotee was chanting. And then he saw the older person, 30 years, and he saw that that person was also chanting. So this person came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, my God, no progression, huh? No career development in this temple, huh? Someone's been around for 1 month and someone's been around for 30 years and after 30 years he's still doing the same thing, chanting. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told him that it's not the same thing. That person may be chanting and this person may be chanting, but their level of chanting is completely different. And then he gave an analogy. He said, just like someone coming to school in the first year will learn their ABC. And someone who has been in school after 20 years will use and write that same ABC, but will write it in an algebraic equation. They're both writing ABC. But the complexity of what they're doing is completely different. So if someone comes along and says, this person's writing ABC and that person's writing ABC, after 20 years, didn't he learn anything more? No, he did. This second ABC is on a much higher level. So similarly, two devotees may be practicing devotional service and externally it may look the same. But the internal mood of that service and the devotion with which it's performed is what really makes the difference. And thus, when we look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and we see the mood of the devotees, the mood of service, that is what makes the difference. Because here in these verses, a lot is being talked about that if you perform devotional service, you will become ecstatic. And someone may say, I'm doing it. I'm performing devotional service, but I'm not feeling the ecstasy. Then we have to see what is the mood of the service of these devotees and what is our mood of service. Does our mood of service match with this mood? And that's the analysis we have to make. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the pastime of Govinda. that Lord Chaitanya, in the final 18 years of his life, he lived in Jagannath Puri. And there he was served by Govinda. So one day, after an ecstatic kirtan, Lord Chaitanya went to take bath, and then he took prasadam, and then, feeling great exhaustion, Lord Chaitanya lay down in the Gambira, in his room. Now, it was a long-standing tradition that Govinda, after Lord Chaitanya would take rest, would come to massage Lord Chaitanya's legs. And then, after massaging Lord Chaitanya's legs, Govinda would go and take prasadam himself. So this day, Lord Chaitanya, who had laid down for rest, Govinda came for his service. But this day when he came, there was a slight complication. The complication that Lord Chaitanya was so tired that he lay down right in the doorway. So he had blocked the way in. So now Govinda had come to do his service. But the door was blocked. And to step over the body of someone else is considered a great offense. So he called out to Lord Chaitanya that, "Please, my Lord, can you move aside so that I can come into the room and then I can massage you?" Lord Chaitanya kind of mumbled to him and said, "Look, I'm too tired. You just do what you want to do." Govinda said, no, I have to do my service to you, but I don't want to step over you. Please, Lord, if you just move to one side, then I can massage you." Lord Chaitanya said, "Just do what you want to do. I can't move." Then Govinda put a chadar over Lord Chaitanya and he stepped over. That was considered a grave offense, to step over someone. But he considered in his mind that, "Unless I step over and do this, how will I serve Lord Chaitanya?" So he stepped over and then he began to massage Lord Chaitanya. After 45 minutes, Lord Chaitanya woke up. Lord Chaitanya looked at Govinda and he said, "What are you still doing here? You've massaged me. Why didn't you just go and take prasadam like you do every day?" Govinda said, "How could I take prasadam? You're blocking the doorway." But Lord Chaitanya said, "Yeah, I'm blocking the doorway, but how did you get in?" He said, "I stepped over your body." So Lord Chaitanya said, "So why didn't you just do the same to take prasadam?" Govinda said, "For your service, I can commit so many offenses that I may go to hell. But for my own pleasure, for my own sense gratification, how could I do such a thing?" Such an amazing mood of service. The servants of Lord Chaitanya are completely selfless. Completely selfless. For Krishna, they'll do anything. But for themselves, they don't expect one small bit in return. This morning I was in the Pujari and Mother Kalangana came. She's not here now. And I always remember Mother Kalangana because she comes and she, of course we know Mother Kalangana, it was her 80th birthday on Thursday, the Vyasa Puja. And I always remember her because she's been making these sweets for so many years. 30 years, 3 decades making these sweets. And whenever she comes to the room to collect some sweets or to pay some sweets, she's so diligent with paying the money. If she takes one sweet, she will pay £1. Once I was there and she took some sweets, she gave £5 and she took 5 sweets. And then she says, "Oh yeah, well, 2 weeks ago I took 1 sweet and I didn't pay for it. So here's £1. And then another thing clicked in her mind and she said, "Actually, I owe another £1 because I remember I took 1 sweet before that. Here's another £1. And in my mind I was thinking, "Mother, you've been cooking these sweets for 3 decades. If you take a few free sweets here or there, I think Krishna will be okay with it." But then I realized her mood. her mood is that these sweets are not her sweets. These are Krishna's sweets. And just because I've been doing this service, that doesn't give me any rights, that doesn't give me any power, that doesn't give me any influence, because it's Krishna's. Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. So, next time you see Mother Kalangda, will always pay a pound for a sweet, not thinking that I've done this service and I can have it for free. One time someone came to Prabhupada, one rich person, and he gave a big check, $25,000. Big donation he gave to Prabhupada. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gonita ki. So he came to Prabhupada and he gave a big donation, $25,000. So Prabhupada took the check and smiled, thanked him for the donation. And then Prabhupada said to him, "Do you like to read?" So the person said, "Yeah, I like to read." So Prabhupada handed him 3 copies of the Bhagavatam. First canto in 3 parts. So this man very gratefully accepted it. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, "That will be $60. So this person looked at him and said, "My God, I just gave you a check for $25,000. Now you're giving me some books and you're asking me $60. Prabhupada said, "That was donation, this is book distribution." Separate. Just because you gave $25,000, that doesn't give you extra rights. This is book distribution, Prabhupada said. We shouldn't expect anything from our service. It's like in the material world, gambling is a big thing, isn't it? The mentality of gambling is I want to do minimum service and get maximum benefit, isn't it? Like they say in the lottery, "I know I'm a sinner, but make me a winner." Right? I don't want to do anything, but I want to get the maximum benefit. Devotional service is the complete opposite. I want to do the maximum I can, and I don't want one small bit in return. That is the nature of devotional service. Completely selfless. Today is also the appearance of Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri, another great servant of Krishna, gives us an insight into other aspects which make one's devotional service very nourishing. Madhavendra Puri was a renunciate and he wandered into Govardhan. And at the Govinda Kund, he began to chant Krishna's names, keeping himself to himself, absorbed in the nectar of the holy name. So as we know, one day, one small boy came to him and gave him a pot of milk. Madhavendra Puri was wondering, who is this boy? And then later on, after that boy had left, Madhavendra Puri got a dream. And he realized that boy was Krishna. And that boy Krishna said, "My name is Gopal." He came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri and he said, "I am in the bush. I've been in this bush for many, many years. I want you to come to this bush. Take me out of the bush. I want you to install me on the top of Govardhan Hill. And then I want you to create a temple. And then I want elaborate worship." So it's like Madhavendra Puri was just some renunciate, wandering mendicant who just came to Govardhan to just chant Krishna's names. And now Krishna came into a dream, came into one of his dreams and started giving him a list of services. "Take me out of the bush, install me on Govardhan Hill, create a big festival of worship." He did it. Madhavendra Puri did it. It's said that he organized an amazing festival, an amazing worship of standard of worship of Gopal He arranged everything in one day. He did it all. And then the worship of Gopal continued for 2 years. And then it said Madhavendra Puri had another dream. And in that second dream, the same Gopal came to him again. And in the second dream, Gopal said to him, "Now I want you to go to Jagannath Puri and collect sandalwood, because I want you to put sandalwood on my body because I'm feeling too much heat." So to go to Jagannath Puri, that was such a big task. To walk all the way to Jagannath Puri in the sweltering heat, to carry all of this sandalwood back to that place. Very difficult. It said that there were so many obstacles in this service. He had to pass through provinces which were ruled by Muslims, which gave a lot of problems. It said that he didn't even have any money to purchase the sandalwood. It said that even when he purchased the sandalwood, he had to go through so many tribulations to get the sandalwood through different borders and different provinces. It was a very difficult service. But Madhavendra Puri did it. Because Madhavendra Puri realized that this is the service of Krishna, and if I have to make a sacrifice for Krishna, then that sacrifice is actually what's going to bring me the greatest happiness. So therefore we see that this is another mood that has to come into one's devotional service. The mood of sacrifice. The devotee of Krishna doesn't just take the easy option. The devotee of Krishna doesn't just always take the comfortable option, the secure option. The devotee of Krishna doesn't just take the service that's most enjoyable to him. But the devotee of Krishna is doing that service which will be most pleasing to the Vaishnavas and most pleasing to Krishna himself. So this spirit of sacrifice we see in Madhavendra Puri. Prabhupada was another example of this. How Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave him that order that you have to go to America and you have to spread this message. And even Prabhupada in his old age, Prabhupada did it. Prabhupada took it seriously. So when we look at Prabhupada's life, there's no room left for any excuses. Isn't it? The one problem with Prabhupada's life is that no one's left with any excuses not to do something. Isn't it? Someone can't say, "I can't serve Krishna because I'm too old." Prabhupada was 70 years old. Someone can't say, "I can't do devotional service because my health is not good." Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks on the ship. Someone cannot say, "I cannot do devotional service because I don't have facility, I don't have support." Prabhupada had 40 rupees. One cannot say, I can't do devotional service because I can't relate to these people. Prabhupada was living in India his whole life, and Prabhupada came into a completely alien culture in New York, trying to relate to these people. It said that one of the first times Prabhupada went into the storefront in to collect some groceries, then he loaded up the basket full of different things, boga, and then he went to the till, and then the person counted it all up, and he said, "That's $25. Prabhupada said, "Well, I'll give you 10. The man was like, no, it doesn't work like this here. That system is in India. Here, you pay what you pay." Completely different culture. Prabhupada was coming from a completely different culture. So when we look at Prabhupada's life, there's no room left for any excuses not to do any service. And really, a Vaishnava is making this sacrifice to please Guru and Krishna. And whatever obstacles come in the service, one accepts that. That these are the things that I have to go through to please the Lord. And therefore one's devotional service has to become very substantial. It's like, for example, if you have a small light, a small lamp, okay, and then a gush of wind comes over, then that lamp immediately becomes extinguished. But if you have a forest fire and the wind comes, then what happens? The forest fire gets bigger. So if one's devotional service is not very strong, just like the lamp, then when there are some obstacles, when there are some difficulties, when one has to make some small sacrifice, then it will affect one's devotional service and one may fall down. But when one becomes very substantial and established in devotional service, and their devotional service is like a forest fire, then when some obstacles come, when some difficulties come, when there's a need to make some sacrifice, then what happens? The fire of devotion increases within them. And in this way, we see that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are making a great sacrifice in their service. Then we see in another pastime of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have Raghava Pandit. It said, Sachira Mandire or Nityanand Nartane, Shrivasa Kirtane or Raghava Bhavane. Lord Chaitanya appeared always in four places. Lord Chaitanya was always in the temple of Sachimata. He was always wherever Lord Nityananda was dancing. He was always in the kirtan of Srivas Thakur. And he was always in the house of Raghava Pandit. Kaviraj Goswami says, E chari thani prabhur sada avirbhav. In those four places, sada avirbhav, the Lord was always there. Why? Prema krishta hoya prabhur sahaja svabhav. Because the svabhav, the very nature of the Lord is prema krishta. He is attracted by love, attracted by devotion. And where there is love, where there is devotion, where there is intense desire to please the Lord will appear. So Raghava Pandit was such a devotee that he was making amazing offerings for Krishna in his home. And what was he offering to Krishna? Coconuts. That was his service. Offering coconuts to Krishna. So it said that he would sometimes travel 20 miles away just to get the best coconuts. And then he would get the coconuts, he would trim them very nicely, he would put the coconuts in water to keep them cool. And then when it came to the time of offering, he would offer it to Krishna and he would clip the top off, put a straw in it and offer it to Krishna. And he said that many times after making the offering, he came back and there was nothing left. Krishna had actually taken it. Such was the quality of his offering. And he said that one time Raghava Pandit, one of his servants, was doing the coconut offering. And the servant walked in with 10 coconuts. And as he was walking through the door, he accidentally touched the ceiling. And then he touched the coconut. And Raghava Pandit immediately stopped him. And he said, no, this is not offerable anymore. This person was thinking, what's the problem? He said, many, many people walk through this door and the dust from their feet goes up. And then the dust touches the ceiling. And now you've touched that ceiling. And now you've touched the coconut. It's become contaminated. I said, high standards of cleanliness. I think like, whoa. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport, Raghava Pandit wasn't just a crazy fellow who had some cleansing phobia. He was actually serious about his service. His service was actually his complete meditation. It wasn't just like, okay, now we're going to offer some coconuts to Krishna. It was serious business. Right? The devotees of Lord Chaitanya take their devotional service very seriously. Some months ago, I had the fortune of cleaning the toilets with Prayojana Prabhu. So Prayojana Prabhu is not here, so I'm saying this story. So you think like, okay, cleaning the toilets, you know, it can't be that difficult, you know. You get some, you know, you get some detergent, some liquids, a few sponges, I mean, you know, and just get the job done. When Prayojana Prabhu cleans the toilets, it's a complete science. Okay? He was teaching me how to clean the toilets. It took him 2 hours to teach me. I needed a pen and paper to write down everything. He has measuring jugs to measure how much liquid you put in. There's a special sponge for everything. There's a whole process of what you do first, what you do second. I mean, it's a whole thing. I said to Prayojana Prabhu, cleaning the toilets is more complicated than doing the Mangalarti transfer. Right? But Prayojana, I mean, this is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava takes the service very seriously. It's not just a casual thing. If it was me, I'd think like, okay, let's just clean the toilets, we just get it done. We got other things to do, you know. I've got bigger samosas to fry in my life, you know, than just clean toilets. But the Vaishnava is so serious about their service that they do it with amazing attention and amazing devotion. When Prabhupada created the Krishna Balaram temple, then he said to his managers, huge temple, he said, I am judging the entire management of the Vrindavan temple on one thing. So everyone was interested. Prabhupada said, I am judging the entire management on Vrindavan temple based on whether the bell is rung on the hour, every hour. We think like, I mean, there's a big temple, there's many things to do, you know. Okay, there's a bell there and the bell needs to go off every hour. Prabhupada said, no, it must go off every hour and I'm judging the management of the temple on whether this happens. Such attention to detail. So, no service is insignificant for a Vaishnava. Every service, because it's being done for Krishna, is being done with great seriousness. Just on Friday was the disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu. So I was reading a bit about Jayananda Prabhu on that day. And of course, Jayananda Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, is an amazing inspirational example of someone who was so enthusiastic in their service. And he said that once a new devotee came to the temple, and the first service they gave to him was to take out the rubbish with Jayananda. Jayananda was a senior devotee. He had been around, I mean, senior in that sense for some years, but he was still doing the most menial tasks. But although he was doing the menial tasks, he was so enthusiastic. So this new devotee who had come in, they sent him with Jayananda to take the trash out. So this new devotee went with Jayananda and he spent a day with him, loading bins off, you know, packing it all in, cleaning up whatever needed to be done. Jayananda was so enthusiastic about the service. He took it so seriously, the task of taking the rubbish out, that this person who spent one day with him, he said, I was convinced in one day that I should be a devotee of Krishna. And then someone asked him why. This person said, because I spent one day with this man, Jayananda, who was taking the rubbish out. And he's so enthusiastic. He's so happy that I thought to myself, if the person taking out the rubbish in this temple is so happy, imagine what everyone else is like. And that convinced him. Because Jayananda was such a devotee that his service was serious. Serious contemplation. So like this, we're seeing that this is another mood of service, that it must be taken very seriously. And then in another pastime of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Lord Chaitanya is taking sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya, at the age of 24, accepted the renounced order of life. So this was obviously a very traumatic experience for Sachimata. First, Sachimata had lost Vishwarup. Then Sachimata had lost Lakshmi Devi. Then Sachimata lost Jagannath Mishra, her husband. And now Lord Chaitanya was also taking sannyas. It was a great pain within her. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Nityananda tricked him and instead took Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur. Lord Chaitanya arrived at Shantipur and Sachimata was there. So Sachimata said, please, my one request is, while you spend these days in Shantipur at the house of Advaita Acharya, please let only me, only I want to cook for you. Please give me this service. So all the devotees agreed, you can cook. So finally, when it came to Lord Chaitanya leaving, Sachimata said, there's one great pain in my heart. You're taking sannyas, and that in itself is so difficult for me. But what is more difficult for me is that not only have you now left home and taken sannyas, but I will not hear anything about you. I will not know where you are, what you're doing, how you are. Therefore, Sachimata said, I have one request to make. My one humble request is, can you please stay at Jagannath Puri? Because if you stay at Jagannath Puri, devotees from Navadvipa are always traveling to Jagannath Puri. And because they're always going back and forth, then I will be able to receive some news of you. Lord Chaitanya, although he took sannyas, although in Lord Chaitanya's life he showed the pristine example of how to be a strict sannyasi, when this request was given by his mother, he was sensitive to that request. And he did it. He stayed at Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya was teaching the world that while doing our devotional service, we also must be very, very sensitive to other people. The tendency is when we take up a devotional service, it's between us and Krishna, and if anyone gets in my way, then I'm just going to let them know and get them out of the way. Right? Sometimes we can become very, very insensitive towards others. But that kind of devotional service is not pleasing to Krishna. Of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is talking about the dangers of aparad, the dangers of offense. And therefore, through the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're understanding that one must be very, very careful to be sensitive in the way one is serving. Just a few weeks back, I was on the street distributing books. And I met one person. So, it's a very nice person. Older Englishman. So I was speaking to him, so I was saying, you know, okay, right, well, do you read books? Yeah, I read books. You know, well, you know, have you ever thought about spiritual things, philosophy? Yeah, I read into that kind of stuff all the time. All right, what philosophies have you looked into? Well, Greek philosophy, Socrates, Plato, other things. Have you ever looked into Eastern philosophy? No, that I haven't looked into, but I've always wanted to. So, you know, imagine like all this within a book distributor thinking, okay, I'm on a winner here. So I said, oh right, so have you ever heard of the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, I've heard of that book. You know, I've been trying to get hold of that book. So I said, you know what? We have one of those books. Here you go. He said, no, no, I don't want it. So then I was thinking, I just played it out. I'll go, yeah, anyway. Anyway, you know, what do you do for a living? Well, you know, I'm a businessman and I used to do this and that. And, oh, you're a businessman. Do you get stressed sometimes? Yeah, I get stressed all the time, you know. All right. Have you ever tried meditation? Yeah. I've been thinking about it. All right. We do mantra meditation. All right. Maybe I can give it a go. Here's a book. Try it out. No. So like this, I was trying to go in like this, different ways to try and penetrate this person's defense mechanisms. But every time I tried something, no. Really nice guy, really interested, but stubborn. Would not take a book. So anyway, after some time I just said, okay. And then we just started talking. And then, at one point in the conversation, he said a very interesting thing to me. He said, you know what? I've realized in my life how to become rich. So I was thinking like, okay, this could be useful information for me as well. So intrigued, I said, really? He said, yes. I've cracked it. I know how to become rich. So I said, okay, I'm all ears. So he said, most people think that to become rich, you have to earn lots of money. Because it's not true. If you want to become rich, just don't spend any money. And I thought, oh my God, that explains it. That explains this person's unwillingness, you know. He said, if you want to become rich, just don't spend any money. I said, this sounds like me, you know, miserly person. Anyway, then he was walking away. And then I was thinking, devotional service is like that. If you are in the association of devotees, if you are in the association of this temple, invariably you will be invested with so much mercy. On a daily basis, you will see the deities. You will take Charanamrit. You will read the Bhagavatam. You will chant the holy name of Krishna. Right? And when you're with devotees, you will do some service. Because the devotees will give you service, right? So just by dint of being within this society of Vaishnavas, one is invested with so many things. And then I was thinking, if one is just attentive to not spend that mercy or lose that mercy by being insensitive, by offending others, by being loose in one's speech, by being critical, by finding faults. If one is just conscious to not spend any of the mercy that one is being invested with on a daily basis, then one will become spiritually rich. Right? Sometimes we think to advance in spiritual life, I have to do so many things. I have to do something more. I have to do something big. I have to do something different. But maybe all we have to do is follow the program that Prabhupada has given, and just be conscious not to spend any of that mercy by being insensitive or offensive. So this is a very special quality of the devotional service of these Vaishnavas that is done with great sensitivity. So I think this morning what I'm trying to do is create a meditation. Create a meditation that our service to Krishna is our greatest wealth. And what we really need to do in our spiritual lives is increase our service in quantity and in quality. Right? The first thing is we have to increase the amount we are doing for Srila Prabhupada. Right? They once came to Jayananda Prabhu, one person, and he said, "Jayananda Prabhu, you're very advanced. What's the secret to becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness?" Jayananda Prabhu just looked at him and he said, "You know what? I've got so many services, I'm so busy, I don't have any time to think about it." Jayananda Prabhu didn't answer the question, but he did answer the question at the same time. In other words, if one is becoming so filled with devotional service, doing so many things for Krishna, then one will become advanced in spiritual life. So we're thinking in our lives about how to increase the quantity of our devotional service. But we should also be thinking about how to increase the quality of our devotional service. So therefore I describe the pastime of Govinda, which taught about selflessness. I discussed the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, which exemplifies the quality of sacrifice. I talked about the pastime of Raghava Pandit, which talks about seriousness in one's service. And I talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachidevi, which talks about sensitivity. In one's devotional service, if one is not selfless, if one is not willing to make a sacrifice, if one is not serious and attentive, and one is not sensitive, then one may render devotional service for hundreds of years and not experience what these devotees are experiencing. Therefore, is one thing to render service, but devotional service is something very different. Devotional service means there's some real quality. And therefore I wanted to just create this meditation today of how to improve not only the quantity of what we're doing for Krishna, but the quality of what we're doing for Krishna. Because our service to Krishna is our connection with Krishna. And our service to Krishna, whether it's cleaning the toilet, distributing books, worshipping the deities, preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness, our service to Krishna is our greatest wealth. It's our connection to Krishna. And that service should be treasured, it should be developed, and it should be executed with enthusiasm, determination, and great absorption. Because that service is what a Vaishnava exists for. Because remember, as Devahuti says, all of your karma should lead to dharma. All of your dharma should lead to vairagya. But all of your vairagya should culminate in service. And therefore this service to Krishna is our greatest treasure, our greatest wealth. So there's 10 minutes left until 9 o'clock. I don't want to go on too long. So maybe I'll just stop here, and if anyone has any comments, corrections, or feedback.